Thank you for tuning in to Sermoncast, the audio channel for the preaching ministry of Christ Church. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting ccnh.org.
Father, there's so much to share. We can't do it in one setting. But you've blessed us with a mountaintop experience. You've blessed us with an opportunity to see your hand in relationships, in ministries that continue. To see you show up in such a huge way as to make a lake where there wasn't one before. To see you show up in such a small way as to provide just enough pap or meat or vegetable for a hungry child to have the only meal that they'll have in a day. It's so significant, big scale, small scale. Father, we acknowledge you and thank you for our decade there, for the many who've traveled, the many who've supported, the many who've prayed, for the times when we've had our Namibian friends here with us in America. All of it a chance to see you at work in and through our lives. So, Lord, we're back home now, and our friends continue to minister. Would you continue to prosper those ministries? One life at a time, revealing your love. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not going to read them now. I have letters from Boniface and Sarah and two-pager from Dieter. Those of you who are there know how Dieter could easily make a two-page note of thanks. These will all be up on the website later today if you want to see them. Pictures, we have thousands of them. They'll all be up on the website as well. The blog site for our trip took over 4,500 hits while we were in Namibia. 4,500 views. And there's a lot of story and picture there as well. It's all still up through our website if you want to see more. I want to share with you briefly from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, if you have your copy of the Scriptures. I want to talk briefly about mountaintop experiences. Many of us have had them. Maybe it was a mission trip. Maybe it was a retreat you went on. Maybe it was just a great worship service. But those moments when you've caught a very unique glimpse of God. And I want to talk about the trouble with mountaintops because they're always adjacent to valleys. You always have to come back down into the real world. And that's where those who are on the go team are this day, back in the real world. And it's a different looking place. Again, Matthew chapter 17. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Do not tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. In the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. I share this text with you because it's one of many mountaintop experiences recorded in the Scriptures. You see at the beginning of this text, a time stamp. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, with him on this trip up the mountain. It's a unique thing in the Gospels. You don't see it too often. A timestamp so distinct. And it sets this event, in the context of Peter and James and John's bigger story. If you look back in chapter 16, you'll see that the declaration of faith. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" More importantly, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter confesses Christ. And this timestamp puts this event, this mountaintop experience, into the context of Peter's larger story. You see, where mountaintop experiences are concerned, they're always important. There's intent and design from God in them. They don't happen by accident or by chance. And they fit in the context, the bigger context of our lives. God is at work. God is doing something. So Jesus led them up a mountain by themselves. And in verse 2, there he was transfigured before them. Peter, James, and John saw Jesus in a way that the other disciples didn't get to see him. They had an experience with Jesus that was unique. It wasn't something everyone got to share. And we see of these mountaintop experiences that they're a tremendous gift. Jesus picked them out and said, "Come with me," so that they could be witness to this. See God in this particular light. And they did. Verse 3, just then appeared also Moses and Elijah. This is quite an experience they're having. So much so that in verse 4, Peter decides he wants to tabernacle this experience for a while. And he says, "Hey, Jesus, I got an idea. Why don't we build some tents and like make s'mores and sing kumbaya? Let's just keep this thing going. We don't want to go back down the mountain. It's a mess down there, Jesus. But here, you, Moses, Elijah, we could have like a holy party right here." We learn about mountaintops that you can't live there. They're momentary experiences. There's a very definite start, a very definite finish. And then you have to descend. And look at the way Matthew records this. Look at verse 5. While he's still speaking, Peter's still rolling out the kumbaya plan here. And while he's still speaking, God's voice speaks. More of this tremendous experience. God's voice says, "This is my son." And look at the last words that God said. "Listen to him. Listen to him." God testifying, Peter, James, and John, you've just seen a glimpse of Jesus that the others haven't seen. You've just had an experience that was absolutely crucial in importance, absolutely a gift from my hand. Now you, listen to him. You go forward from here changed. You're not the same anymore. After this experience, you listen to him. And you see the disciples, in response to God's voice, they fall down. They're forever changed. You know, when we're on these trips, and as many of you as have been before, you know, many times on these trips you hit an emotional wall. You just run out of gas. You find yourself at the lowest of low points. Maybe it's the poverty. Maybe it's the AIDS. Maybe it's holding that child that you know won't be there. When you go, maybe it's all that. But it's you, stripped away from all the trappings of life, where it's just you and that revelation of God that says, "This is my son, listen to him." And you find yourself on your face. And look at verse 8. They looked up, they saw nothing but Jesus. They got no one but Jesus now. It's a shame we have to sometimes go to the other side of the globe to get to that place. I was 3 weeks without Facebook. Whew, that was good. I can't even get in the mood for Facebook now that I'm back. They're posting pictures of me. I get little things, a picture of you, but I don't even want to look. I was 3 weeks without news. Man, that was good. 3 weeks without politicians knocking each other off the throne. You know how good that was? I came back and turned on the news, and in 30 minutes, right back where I didn't want to be. I was 3 weeks without my cell phone, people calling me, looking stuff up. Dieter teased us about his cell phone. He's got one of those old Nokia phones. It's about a foot long, little antenna on the side. He was teasing us. He said, there was two of them on the ark, and I got one. He's like, Wi-Fi? You mean you just turn on your computer and you're on the internet? And you have it on your phone? Can I do that on my phone? No, no. No, no, you can't. But plug that thing in. It's draining battery just looking at it. From verse 10 and forward, the disciples started asking different questions. You see, they started to see a bigger picture, a bigger slice of the picture. And so now they had different questions to ask. And Jesus answered them. Jesus helped them catch a glimpse of the bigger pie, the bigger thing that he's doing. And I tell you, that's the biggest blessing for me and for many of us on this trip, is we got to see a little bit of the bigger picture. Janet's here. Janet and Dorothy have been before in 07 and 08. They met with the preschool teachers then. And they saw how out of round that whole system was. And this time, they see the progress. They see memes who've become teachers. They've seen shanties that have become schools. And they've seen preschoolers that have become successful primary schoolers. You go over there and you get a bigger glimpse. Any mountaintop experience, you get a bigger glimpse, a bigger perspective. I stopped reading at 13, but just quickly glance at 14 forward. I said that every mountaintop's adjacent to a valley. They came down the mountain. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire, into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. And Jesus declares, you unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. The disciples ask, what happened? How come it didn't work? And he ends up saying that they've lacked faith. That if they truly had faith, they could say to a mountain, move, and it would. You know, you come down off the mountain and you step back into the real world where things don't always seem to work. Where you don't as clearly, maybe it's because of the trappings all around us, you don't as clearly see the power of the gospel at work. You don't see Fire Boy delivered. In Manchester, in Nashua, in our own homes. But God gave you that mountaintop experience to be a catalyst for going forward. He gave you a glimpse so that you would understand him to be the God who is and who is able. Will we go forward living with the faith that we had in the moment of that mountaintop experience? Asking a new set of questions and looking for God to show up in new and bold ways in our everyday life. So here's this guy in a squatter's camp on the other side of the world playing soccer barefoot on the pitch where there's broken glass and nails and telling children who've only had one meal a day that the center provided for them that most of us wouldn't even dish up and eat. Jesus loves you. And these shalumbu that you see, they're here because they love you in Jesus' name. And that guy says, how's David Knight? That guy says, how's Jeremiah? those children that say, there goes big show. Do we have faith that the same God there is the God here? And in and through our lives, He's developing His picture every bit as fully. Come down the mountaintop. I got Obama and Romney each other's throats. I got some joker shooting up movie theaters. I got my kids bickering at each other. But I can beat them. Speaking of beating, boy, we saw the way some children were handled in Namibia. It wouldn't fly here. They had razor wire around the playground. You saw that razor wire and you just thought, you know, if a child falls, I won't look. You saw the swing set? The swings were steel. They're like little guillotines swinging back and forth. Every OSHA regulation or whatever, whoever would regulate it, oh, the swing swinging and you're just looking, oh my goodness. Somehow the kids aren't getting hit. I don't know. Maybe it teaches them to duck. It's a different world. We see God clearly on the mountaintop. And then we come home. What now? Will you pray with me? Father, again, thank you for your revelation of yourself to us. Would you grow our faith that we might live as salt, as light, that we might continue to make the connections, even here, as we go to school, as we go to work, as we go home to our neighborhoods, that we might ask a new set of questions, get a deeper glimpse into your picture as you develop it. In and through our lives, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are crowned King of Africa. You are crowned Lord of all. You are crowned King of Africa. Who can deny you are crowned Lord of all? You are crowned King of Africa. You are crowned Lord of all. You are crowned King of Africa. Who can deny you are crowned Lord of all? Ayeti, oh, Ayeti, 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 Ay